Certainly want to welcome back to Mass all those who may be finding their way back to church for the first time in a long time. For some of you, perhaps you haven't been here since the last time we had a 10:30 Mass, which I believe would have been March the 15th of last year. So we're very glad to get back into our original time slot, and we're grateful also for the patience of those in the live stream for making this shift with us. The live stream started at 11 on Sunday a year ago, then went to 10, now back at 10:30, and so we're shuffling the deck chairs, but hopefully for a good purpose, and that is to get this flock back together at the foot of the cross in the house of God so we can praise God for his many blessings and beg God for the assistance that we so desperately need that he alone can give. Each year, the church calendar transitions from the Easter season to ordinary time with four feasts in a row. Two Sundays ago, Jesus' heavenly homecoming, the 40th day of Easter, the Ascension. Last Sunday, a mighty wind and tongues of fire, the birthday of the church and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today, the essence of who God is, one in three, Father, Son, and Spirit. We'll round things out next Sunday, June the 6th, with the feast of Jesus' body and blood in the Eucharist. We call it Corpus Christi. But today is perhaps elevated more important above the rest because, according to the Catechism, paragraph 234, it says this about the Trinity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 234, the mystery of the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is the most essential and fundamental teaching in the church. Some would say, wait a second, if I am a Christian, then I think that believing in Jesus should be the most essential and fundamental teaching in the church. But our own catechism tells us that's not good enough. It's not good enough to believe in Jesus. We have to believe that Jesus is part of something far greater than himself, one God in three persons who is and has been and always will be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are denominations who style themselves as Christian who don't believe in the Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, what we call the Mormons, yes, they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the triune God. And so that perhaps sets us apart, and we have to work out those differences if we are ever to come together. If we want to understand more about ourselves, who are made in the image and likeness of God, then we need to understand who God is. And our catechism tells us that this is the essence of God, to know him as the creator, the redeemer, and the sanctifier. All three of those roles working in tandem and together in a harmony for our benefit, for the salvation of souls, and to bring this world to its fulfillment when all of us have the opportunity to journey to heaven and see God as he is, to know him as Father, Son, and Spirit. In the book of Deuteronomy today, we hear about the immensity and the intensity of God. As Moses reminds the Israelites, there are plenty of other countries that had plenty of false gods, but Israel's God was so much greater because he's the only God who exists in the heavens and on the earth. There is no other, Moses said, so you better obey his commands so you can share in his blessings. But where Moses covered the immensity and the intensity of the triune God, in the second reading, St. Paul to the Romans, he talks about the intimacy of God. Yes, he's immense. Yes, he's intense, wholly other than us. But he also is intimately connected with all of his creation. That's why Paul told the Romans, God has made us his children. We are sons and daughters of God, able to call him Abba. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should recognize that connection with God and let that love that we have for him and his love for us inspire us to greater acts of love and charity for each other. We have just heard the Catechism tell us that belief in the Trinity is the most essential teaching in Catholic doctrine. And yet, we will not find the word Trinity anywhere in the Old or New Testament, not once anywhere in the Bible. That term Trinity came from a church father named Tertullian 200 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. But we can see a belief in the Trinity all throughout the Bible. We could go all the way back to the beginnings of creation and the beginning of the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, God made everything out of nothing. He brought order to chaos, and then he created all the creatures on the land and the sea and the air above. But then he decided to create humanity to have dominion over all those creatures. And in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, what does God say? He said, "Let us make man after our image and likeness. God using the royal we, speaking in the plural because he knows who he is. He knows that he is the one and three. In the very next chapter of Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit at work because God has created Adam, as he promised to do. But Adam is like a lifeless statue or a mannequin lying on the ground until verse 7, when God breathes his spirit into Adam. And only then does Adam become a man fully alive because he has received the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. We can see the Trinity expressed also in Genesis when we flip over to chapter 18. Then we have Abraham making his 600-mile journey through the desert from Iraq to Israel. And in the middle of that journey, right at the beginning of Genesis chapter 18, Abraham is visited by three travelers in the desert. He can see them a long way off, and he goes out to meet them, and he refers to them, though they are three, he refers to them as Lord in the singular, and he prostrates himself before them because he knows he is in the presence of a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, for his part, he was there for all of it. If you were to look at the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, John refers to Jesus as the Word. And he said, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him all things came to be, and without him nothing came into being. He holds all creation together in himself. A reminder to us that when God was creating everything out of nothing, Jesus and the Spirit were right there alongside him. God always has been, God always will be the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself understood who he was as part of this entity. Today in the gospel, we hear the last four verses of Matthew, and Jesus gives the great commission on the day of his ascension. As he is going home to heaven, his mission accomplished, Jesus tells his apostles, go be disciples, go make disciples, baptizing people of every nation in the name, not the names, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then setting the table for next Sunday's feast of the Corpus Christi, Jesus said in the last verse of Matthew's gospel, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's leaving, but he's staying. And he does that present for us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And if we believe that the Eucharist is Jesus, and if we believe that Jesus is God, and if we believe that God is a Trinity, then every time we come to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, we're coming closer and closer and in deeper relationship with God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, who creates, who redeems, who sanctifies, who is so immense and intense, but yet intimately in love with you, your soul, forgiving your sins, and bringing you to salvation.